One of the greatest spiritual tools that I ever received to help me with my spiritual life was when I was in seminary. We were went on retreat one summer. We were taking a course called the Spirituality of the Diocesan Priesthood, and it was taught by Father Cousins then. Now he's Bishop Cousins. And he told us all about the rules of discernment that St. Ignatius of Loyola wrote about in a book called The Spiritual Exercises by St. Ignatius of Loyola. And so I want to share them with you, just the first part of it. The St. Ignatius starts with a foundational principle. He's not going to build a house without setting a foundation first. And so he says, this is our foundational principle as Christians. Man is created to praise, reverence, and serve God our Lord, and by this means to save our soul. And the other things on the face of the earth are created for man, and that they may help him in procuring the end for which we are created. Man is to use them as much as they help him to this end, and ought to rid himself of them so far as they hinder him to it. So our end, as he said, was to praise, reverence, and serve God, and by this means to save our soul. And everything else in the world is for us, to help us to get to heaven. God created it all so that we could get to heaven. But he wanted to lay down some rules for our spiritual life, so that we could help to guide, so that we could be guided in the spiritual life in a right way. So here's the first, just give you the first two. The first one is, in persons who go from sin to sin, from mortal sin to mortal sin, the evil spirit, the evil one, will commonly propose apparent pleasures to that person, making them imagine sensual delights and pleasures in order to hold them more and make them grow in their vice and sin. The good spirit uses the opposite method, prickling them and biting their conscience through the process of reason. So for those people who don't come to church, they live just from one sin to the next, and have no idea of God's mercy or forgiveness, God is going to try to get to them in some way, and he's going to prick at their conscience and say, and help them to see the wrong that they're doing. For those people who are intensely cleansing their sins, coming to confession, trying to live a better life, rising from good to better in the service of God, the evil spirit does the opposite. He tries to sadden that person, tries to put obstacles in front of them, tries to disquiet them with false reasons, say to them, you can't go on. You can't attain heaven. Heaven's impossible for you. You're just a sinner. That's what the evil spirit says. The good spirit, in that case, gives courage and strength and consolation and tears and inspirations, and brings about a quietness of our soul, easing and putting away all of the obstacles between us, bringing us peace, consolation, this important word, consolation. This is what God wants. He wants to draw us to him. For us who are trying to live better lives, who are trying to be God's children, who are trying to sin no more, he's going to draw us with the consolation, which is a movement of our soul where we are inflamed with love of God. When we can love no created thing on earth in itself, but only as a means to get to God, he brings us interior joy. And even in times of desolation, when we're disquieted or we're without hope, maybe we're dry in our prayer life, it's not as exciting as it once was, it is the good spirit, is God himself, who guides us and counsels us. And so it's important, as we're listening to things that happen inside of our spiritual life, that we accept and embrace what God is consoling us and moving towards him, and reject all of those thoughts of despair or saddening or putting obstacles or false reasoning. It's okay, I deserve this. That's something from the evil one. The good spirit is the Holy Spirit. It's the third person of the Trinity, and that's the Holy Spirit breathed into the apostles at Pentecost. Today, our readings, they remind us of to remember that day, to remember when Jesus says to his disciples, "Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit." He's telling them, "Glory in the consolation that I bring to you. The Holy Spirit is your guide. Follow it. The Spirit that brings peace and courage and strength and interior joy and increases in all those virtues, faith, hope, and love." The apostles, after Jesus ascended into heaven, they went out into the world having been imbued with those strengths, with those gifts, and with great power the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of Jesus. The good Spirit brought them unity in their mission to do God's will. I'm absolutely sure that there were times when those apostles heard the voice of the evil one in their mind. I mean, we have evidence of it even before they received the Holy Spirit, the evil one trying to work on them, deny Jesus, deny who he is, trying to get them to deviate from that mission that God sent them on. But they employed those rules of discernment even before St. Ignatius of Loyola would record them 1,500 years later. The truth was still there at that time. Listening to the good Spirit, rejecting the evil Spirit. And then some 1,900 years after the apostles, God would reveal through his servant, St. Faustina, the greatest fruit of the Spirit, the greatest of goods and good qualities of our God, and that's mercy. Through Jesus' revelation, through St. Faustina, in a tremendous consolation to her and the whole world, Jesus came to reveal himself as the face of mercy. And he told to St. Faustina, proclaim that mercy is the greatest attribute of God. Not justice is the greatest attribute of God, but mercy. For those that are moving toward the Lord, those words will bring us comfort and consolation. But of course, mercy first requires us to know that we need mercy. To acknowledge that we are sinners and we need mercy. If we're not sinners, then we don't need mercy. We would enjoy justice. But for us who acknowledge that God is the one for whom we live, for who we acknowledge Christ as our Savior, we know that his value is his mercy. We know the value of his mercy. So today is a special day in the church, Divine Mercy Sunday, a day when we can turn to God, turn to our Lord, and receive an abundance and outpouring of his mercy. The church, Holy Mother Church, has opened for us an opportunity for the complete remission of all of our sins today, both the guilt for having committed them and the punishment that's due to them, due to us because of them. This is called a plenary indulgence. You might have heard of it before. A plenary indulgence removes all stains of sin. It brings us right back to that baptismal state of purity. And when we do this, the church boldly proclaims God's mercy to the whole world. Today at 3:00 in the afternoon, we have a prayer service here commemorating God's divine mercy. We'll have the Blessed Sacrament out, and we'll pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And we'll invoke God's blessing upon us that he would bring us that remission of sin. Let God's mercy be for you a great consolation this day. Listen to the good Spirit that's alive and at work in each of you, and seize the mercy of God that he offers to us all.